This is Shambhala Sun, editor of web publications Rod Mead Sperry, and you're listening to Shambhala Sun Audio. In this third and final installment of our interview with meditation teacher and author Noah Levine, we discuss what it's like and what it means for him to be getting so much attention. And Noah, who you might be surprised considers himself a bit of a conservative, at least when it comes to the Dharma, ponders whether a more specifically American Buddhism should be born and what it might look like. You've had a couple of books now. Dharma Punks has been profiled everywhere, including the New York Times, and there's even Meditate and Destroy, a documentary about you and your work. How do you feel about being so out there? Is it a balancing act?
You know, up until recently, I felt like it wasn't so much of a balancing act, that it was really full on for the last few years, but that I was happy that it was really wonderful to spend my time and energy teaching and really being out there in the world trying to create some positive change. I got to admit that now with a family and with a child, that it does feel like it's becoming more of a balancing act, where I'd like to have a bit more downtime, a bit more time at home, because I'm a notorious overachiever, overscheduler, not so good at saying no when I'm invited to do things. So it is becoming more of a balancing act, where I'm having to be much more intentional about my schedule, you know, now that it's not just me as a single person out, you know, running around the world, you know, practicing and teaching. Now it's like, oh, no, I want to be home as much as possible, or at least to take gigs that my family can come with me.
Right.
So it has become a bit more of a balancing act.
Any known teacher is going to have some degree of, for lack of a better word, fame. And that seems to me that for a guy who's as humble as I know you are, that's got to be tricky. And it's also got to be tricky as a teacher.
Yeah, I guess, you know, there's a way in which sometimes when you're in the middle of something, you don't know that you're in the middle of it. It's just what I'm doing. And, you know, a lot of people come out to the events and things. So I know that there's a large appreciation of it. And of course, you know, I'm sure there's times where my ego gets inflated by it. You know, what I've said a lot, Rod, is that I'm really grateful that this kind of attention that I get is about the Dharma, and that it is the Dharma that reminds me constantly not to take it personal, which is much different than a lot of my friends who, you know, have been very successful in music or in art or acting or whatever, where it's like the kind of industry that they're in really deeply encourages them to take it personal.
Right.
Right? Like, you are an amazing actor or songwriter or artist. Take it personal. Where in the Dharma, it's like, okay, you're a good Dharma teacher. You know, you're a good messenger of someone else's teaching. Don't take it personal. You know, you didn't create this. This isn't your teaching. This is just passing on a message from the Buddha, with all of the insistence on not self and humility. And like, I feel very grateful that the attention that I do get in this world isn't really about Noah. It's really about the Dharma. And I know that really well. So even when my ego does get attached to feeling inflated or whatever, I have the Dharma to remind me that that's impersonal too. Even the inflation is not self. It's just more phenomena.
Well, all that being said, I would like to thank you on behalf of myself, and I'm sure many other people, for just being as good a messenger as you are.
My pleasure. You know, I have a lot of gratitude for what's happening. I also have a lot of curiosity and a lot of interest, and at times some real strong motivation for continuing this discovery process of what is American Buddhism going to be.
Mm.
I'm very curious and willing to kind of open this conversation to how much do we need to continue propagating Thai Buddhism or Tibetan Buddhism or Japanese Buddhism? At what point are we going to kind of say, we know what the Buddha taught. We don't need to continue to filter it through other Asian translations and traditions. When are we going to create an American Buddhism that, you know, kind of sticks with the best of all of the traditions, you know, that incorporates the best of the Mahayana and Vajrayana and the best of the Theravada? For me, of course, being a bit of a conservative at times, you know, an American Buddhism that is pretty close to what we think the Buddha intended. and acknowledging a lot of the stuff that goes around as Buddhism is very far away from what Siddhartha Gautama was teaching in his lifetime. I'm just very interested in that conversation and in what I see as the great opportunity that we have in the West to form a new tradition rather than continuing being attached to the Asian tradition.
Now, on some level, I mean, we could certainly argue that the Asian traditions live not just because they're traditions, but because they're sufficient. My guess is that what you're saying is that to make an American Buddhism, which is what I think you're doing in your way,
mm-hmm.
is it's upaya. It's by making things
yeah.
less foreign, more people, more kinds of people will flock to it. Is that correct?
Yes, for sure. And I guess, I'm even interested in going further into the investigation of, is all of what we're receiving from the Asian tradition sufficient? Is there some levels of corruption, some levels of patriarchy and power maybe that aren't necessary? And so I'm also interested in the sort of critique and dismantling and a deep investigation to kind of say, let's really take the goodness from what has become Buddhism, and maybe it's time to let go of some of the maybe ways that the Buddha's teachings have been corrupted or misused by some of the different traditions. And I'm including Theravada as well as Mahayana traditions in that. I'm not trying to create the old Mahayana-Hinayana battle again here. I'm kind of Buddhism across the board.
Now, I know that about you.
Yeah.
Great.
Cool.
All right. Hey, Noah, thank you so much.
Okay, man. Take good care.
That was meditation teacher and author Noah Levine joining me on the phone to talk about his work and the communities he's helped create. You'll find Noah's article, It Takes a Sangha, in our March 2009 issue, or read it online by visiting us on the web at ShambhalaSun.com. This is Rod Mead Sperry, and thanks for listening to Shambhala Sun Audio.